What type of reaction is Shiratayam?
All right, so question is being raised this week of Parshas Bashalach about the Shira, the song, the special song that was composed and B'nai Yisrael sang. Many, many questions can be asked about this. That is, it would seem that the song, it wasn't just a natural, I don't know that it was just a natural, it doesn't seem to me that it's a natural emotional response to the fact that the Jews have been saved. That's very difficult to maintain. That is, people that have gone through, if you put yourself in that situation, people that have gone through such a experience of being on the verge of destruction and then being saved in such a manner and to witness the destruction of the enemy, you could understand how they would feel emotionally. But I don't think that's what the Torah is recording. We have to bear in mind that the Torah is not a history book. We keep saying it all the time. And it doesn't record all the details. It only records that which is eternal, that which is essential, from which we can learn. So imagine if you were there. What did you do? Did the parents hug their children and scream for joy? We don't know. You can use your imagination. It's a big people. Some people may have reacted one way, some people may have reacted another way. That's not really what the Torah is interested in. That's history. So, the Shira of Moshe, however, is clearly not an emotional outburst at all, obviously. First of all, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's been incorporated into the Torah. So it's really Nevuah. Now, I'm not saying that Hashem instructed all the Torah, every word of the Torah is from Hashem, given over to Moshe on the highest level of Nevuah, without images, just direct words. So then how do we understand this? Did Hashem tell Moshe what to say? Or did Moshe work it out on his own? It seems that by the way, Oz Yoshe and Moshe itself, there's a number of different mafarshim. What exactly does that mean? For example, Sforno says, Oz Yoshir, Hiskim She Yoshir. He agreed that they should sing. So that implies that it wasn't just a natural outburst, that there was a decision. He made a decision that they should sing. But you have Rashi, then you have the Ramban. There's a whole discussion about that. I don't think it's that necessary to go into that. If you read through it, you see that it's not the kind of things that would conform to an ordinary emotional outburst. There's many, many ideas. And what it means to say is as follows, is that it seems to be that Moshe composed it, Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael, that Moshe composed it, and Al Pi Nevuah, on the basis of his Nevuah. And I would say it's sort of like Sefer Dvarim, that Sefer Dvarim is really the words of Moshe. You have the same issue over there. This is what Moshe spoke. Basically, Moshe's final message to the Jewish people. So how does it conform to the idea that every word of Torah is from God? So the answer is, all the Mepharshim say this, that Moshe got up and he addressed the Jews in terms of the mitzvos and so on and so forth and what they should do and rebuked them in certain places and so forth. And then afterwards, Hashem instructed him to incorporate these words into the Torah. So that's why it's part of Torah. Had Hashem not instructed him to incorporate these words, then it wouldn't be part of Torah. I would say the same thing over here. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm just, I don't know that Hashem told Moshe what to sing. I don't get that impression. Then it would have said that God said to Moshe to tell, get together with Bnei Israel and say these words. Rather, Oz Yoshe Moshe, we know what the Sferno says. He was maskim. But the content itself, it wasn't just an ordinary song, whatever emotions. He wasn't of Chachma. You see, you see certain things like Namoga called Yoshevei Kanan. He talks about the rest of the world, how this affected the world, and so on and so forth. So that would not really be an emotional outburst, nor would that be something that the average person would know. I mean, that already involves elements of Nevuah. That this will have such a profound effect on Namoga called Yoshevei Kanan, that the inhabitants of Kanan are fearful, their hearts have melted. And then we say, Rashi mentions later on, you see, by Rachav, when Yeshua sends spies there, and they and she says that the whole nation is smitten with fear. So you see that it was Nevuah. It wasn't just a statement. That moreover, that wouldn't fit. I mean, at a moment of joy that you're saved, you're not contemplating the consequences, how the effects this has on the entire world. All right, guys, hold on a second. I have to take a call. Just hold on.
Okay.
And that's why we incorporate it into the tefillah, and we take a look at all the commentary on each and every word, the meaning, the deeper meanings, and so on and so forth. So that becomes very, very clear that that it's not an emotional outburst at all. It's now what's the basis for it? What's the idea of Shira? Well, another question that I had was, it would seem, well, why is there a Shira for this nace? That was the one of the main questions that I asked, was that this is not the first nace, or the only nace. There's many nisim that are recorded in the Torah. And, you know, all the nisim that took place in Mitzrayim, and then the Makkos Bechoros, and then the Jews were taken out. True, this was a great, great miracle, but is that it? There was the Ramban says, for example, that the greatest of all the miracles was the man. That the Jews had man for 40 years in the Midbar. And it didn't produce a Shira. So what is it? What is there about this? Also, I mean, you have that other, there's many issues over here. It seems to be, I mean, superficially anyways, it seems to be that the a sense of glorification that the Egyptians were destroyed, Sisferofo, Rama Vayam, and even have that medrash with regard to the that the Malachi Asharis wants to sing Shira, and Hashem rebuked them, said that Masa Yodai Tovim Vayam V'yatam Omrim Shira, that the works of my hand I drown in the sea, and you want to do Shira, and yet that's why we, because of that, that's one of the reasons why we don't say the full Hallel, half Hallel throughout Pesach, except for the first days. So what's the idea? If that's the case, so why did the Jews sing Shira? I mean, what's the idea of the Malchei Asharis? Anyways, you do see that element of ambivalence over there. That what is it? We don't have this idea of a glorification of warfare, of victory, of triumph. We don't have such a concept. So why would this evoke a Shira? Now, the basic idea of the Shira, for example, I remember the Rav saying that with regard to the nace of Hanukkah, that the Kriyas HaMegillah, Pirsumei Nisa. But what was the basis? What right did the Rabbanim have to make up a new mitzvah, seemingly? You can't make up new mitzvahs. So what's the... did they just come along and make up a new mitzvah that we should light the Ner Chanukah? So he said that, of course, it's not the case. The basis is in the Torah. What's the basis in the Oz Yoshe Moshe? That is, that when a nes occurs, there's a chiyuv to give shevach and hodayah. So, Az Yoshea Moshe is an expression of shevach l'Hashem. That was the, that's what the Sforonomi, Hiskim Sheyoshir. That the whole reason for doing so was not because of an emotional outburst of how they felt, but rather it was because of a, you learn how to chiyuv. It was a chiyuv. It was really an obligation to do shira. It wasn't just tam. They happened to sing. Had they done so, let's assume, a group of people experienced a miracle, and they just had an emotional experience, and they sang. Well, I don't know if it would have been recorded. Then we'd have to ask, what did they sing? Just because a person sings, it doesn't mean it's appropriate. That becomes a very, very big issue, that not everybody is on a level to compose a shira l'Hashem, because if he's just basing himself on his ordinary emotions. So to the contrary, l'chadumiyah tehillah, we say with regard to tefillah, that a person is not allowed to keep going. Participated in the shiva. So therefore, I would say that clearly it's Torah. The shiva itself is Torah, and it contains the most profound ideas based upon nevuah, and has to be studied. Every verse, every word is Torah, and it has a very profound meaning. And it's not even easy. If you take a look at the language itself, it's another indication that it's not just a song is the complexity of the language. It's hard very often just to figure out the pshat. But let's focus on one other point that I wanted to make. I have a lengthy shiur. I gave a shiur at length on the shira. Why this particular? What's the main theme of the shira? And why this nays, and not other nisim? But also Hashem ish melchama, Hashem shemo. That statement, at first glance, God is a man of war. That seems to be extolling warfare. Seems that way, and that's contrary to the to Judaism. There's a mitzvah of milchama, obviously. That whether it's milchama, there's milchama's mitzvah, there's milchama's rishus, but clearly we don't glorify warfare. That's not, we don't view that as being the greatness of man. That's other cultures. It's a necessity, and it could even be a mitzvah, but it's not an ideal that we hope for. So what's this idea of, and also it seems to be depicting the extent to which the Egyptians were utterly defeated, sus farochva roma vayam, that they were cast into the sea. Again, superficially, it's sort of, you know, you're sort of in the, exulting in the fact that your enemies were destroyed. So what's the idea behind that? All right, well, let me just share briefly. There's another point over here. And that is, if you take a look at the situation of the Jews, when they were given instructions to go back towards the Yam, so they listened to Moshe, even though that was a scary thing, they're going back in the direction of Egypt and so on and so forth. And then, however, when they saw Mitzrayim, if you go back before the Kriyas Yamsuf, the whole description that Parah was told that the Jews tried to escape, and he gathers his call every chariot, every horse, and comes chasing after them. So then it says, Uparo Hikrib. Just go back to Yud Dalet, Perik Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud. That Paro came close, and then it says that the Jews lifted up their eyes. Vine Mitzrayim Nosei Acharayim, and they saw Egyptians coming after them like an army chasing. Vayiramod, And they became very fearful. And they screamed out to Hashem. And then you see that there's pretty much what seems to be a state of panic sets in. Vayomer Moshe, I'm nibli and kvarm Mitzrayim. You see a certain biting attitude towards Moshe, which reflects a sense that they're going to all be destroyed. Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you took us to die in the Midbar? What did you do? So you see that they're complaining already. It's a disaster. We told you in Egypt, leave us alone. And Benavda us Mitzrayim. He told one of us Mitzrayim. He was saying about Midbar. So then Moshe reassures them. He says, "Al tiro, hisyasfu uru'u es yeshuas Hashem, asher yash lachem hayom." Hisyasfu, at least to have the ability, don't do anything. Hashem yilachim lachem. You don't have to do anything. That's interesting. Hashem yilachim v'atem tacharishin. You just be quiet. In other words, gain control over yourself. That I have to demand from you. Because hisyasfu, at least to have the ability to stand up and see and witness, because something unbelievable is going to happen. And you'll see the Yeshua Hashem. So you see what kind of a state they were in. And clearly, the Ebenezer raises this as a question. They had 600,000 men of the age of war and so on. It says Chamushim Olu that they left with arms and so forth. So why didn't it occur to them to make some kind of a defense? But whatever you want to say, you can give his reasons. Clearly, they were not capable at that point in time of mounting any kind of a defense. They were incapable of war. So therefore, they thought they're going to be slaughtered. So Moshe said, Moshe didn't say that you can make. Moshe said, you're right, just watch. Hashem is going to say, Hashem yilachem lachem. God's going to fight for you. Now, if you go a little bit further after this event, so on and so forth. It doesn't. How much longer after this do you have the situation with Amalek? Vayevo Amalek. It's not that much longer. It's a couple of months. It's before Sinai. And there, it's a completely different response. Vayevo Amalek. They were a fearful nation. And he instructs Yoshua to choose men and to fight. To fight a war, that's what you have to do. You have to, all right, it's true, Moshe went up and Moshe was as follow. Then you have the whole incident when they saw the hands of Moshe. So they gained strength from that, fine. But they were fighting. Well, how do you explain that fact? How did this group of people who, at Kriyas Yamsuf, were completely devastated, they couldn't even stand up, and less than 3 months later, they're fighting, and they defeat Amalek. What happened over here? So, basically, what happened was, they witnessed the nais of Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what transformed them. That is to say that the reason why they couldn't fight when Mitzrayim were coming was not because they didn't have the physical capability, but rather they were completely, it was a psychological phenomenon, that the overestimation of the oppressor, the Ebenezer says this point, that people become subject to a certain, it's not just a slave mentality, it's part of the slave mentality, but the overestimation, the deification of man, that these people.
Question.
Hold on.
I don't know if it's off now. Yeah. If anyone's wondering,
it's on. No, it's on. It's
not the jello still.
It's on.
Figure it out.
Hello, David. It's on.
Was it like a song that he taught them? Like
Shira, it constitutes nevuah. It's a chafta shel nevuah.
Right.
It seems to be confirmed by the point of Miriam that. It mentions Miriam Hanaviyah.
Are you saying that the fact that it says it by Miriam confirms it by...
I would say that, the question would be, why does it have to mention that she's a Nevi'ah at this point in time?
Right.
What's the difference? Indeed, moreover, she didn't compose a new song. She there was nothing new in that song. She confined herself to the first, Ashil Hashem Ki Goga, Sisrocha Ramavayam. That was her whole song, but she didn't make that up. Obviously, she got that from Moshe. So, but still in all, it mentions Nevi'ah. So why? What's the connection? I'm not talking about that now. Moreover, they used the instruments and the men didn't use the instruments. So what's the whole point of that little story over there? I'm not taking that up now. I'm merely suggesting that even what she did, it would seem to me, was connected to Nevi'ah. Because it mentions Nevi'ah. So why? What's the context? What does that have to do with it? Okay, does that answer your basic question?
Yes.
I mean, I can stop here, and I just wanted to make the main point. Obviously, this requires a lot of discussion. I'm not going to have that much time right now. I just want to make the main point of what the nace was and why this nace was unique, and why this engendered Shira, and why this group of people who were panic-struck, within a very short period of time, they were able to fight. Because what I'm saying is, that it's a psychological phenomenon that man has this tendency of the overestimation of man. And that's the biggest form of Avodah Zarah. And all the tefillos keep emphasizing this point. Al tiftachu ben adivim, do not put your faith in man. Bevan odam, she'ein lo teshuva. And, but that's the course of history. That's the nature, is that when certain people appear to us to be so successful, to be so strong, and especially in a military sense, then they create that mystique. The mystique of having divine power. And that's what Amalek is, really. That's truly what Amalek is. That Amalek came to negate the idea of God and to proclaim human, that man is the ultimate force in the universe. That was the Nazi ideology. That's why the Rav said that Amalek is not just that particular people, but any group, any ideology which bases itself on the negation of God and the elevation of man as being the highest power. So that's what Amalek is. And at that point in time, the reason that's what it says, they saw the Egyptians coming after them. I want to relate to you a point of Rabbi Chait on this, that there's a very strange Rashi that says that when they saw the power of Vayisu b'nei Yisrael zayneihem, it says the Jews lifted their eyes, and behold, Mitzrayim was chasing after them. So Rashi brings out a medrash which says that they saw the Hinei Mitzrayim Nosechrim Ro Sar Shel Mitzrayim. They saw the master of Egypt, Noseim and Ashamayim, traveling from heaven, Lazar Le Mitzrayim. It's a Tanchuma. They saw the master. That's what does that mean? They saw something in heaven. The master of Egypt leaving heaven to come and help the Egyptians. So basically, the way he interpreted it was to mean that it's a certain image, that every nation carries a certain type of an image. That's the Sar Shel Mitzrayim. That the way they appeared as an army and so forth. So they were overcome by that image, that sense of greatness. The Germans did that. They sought to create that impression, to intimidate their enemies, that there's no way you can beat them, that they're invincible. That aura of invincibility. So that is a very powerful thing. And especially when these people have afflicted you, when they've always appeared to you as being supreme beings over you. So the Jews who had suffered from the Egyptians, when they saw them in that formation, that emotion overpowered them. They were overpowered by the emotion of the deification of man. And the whole purpose of Hisyasvu Re'u, the whole purpose of the Kriyas Yamsuf, was that they were liberated from that. That the Hashem Ish Milchama, that they had to see with their own eyes, this mighty, that's why they go into all the details. how that the chariot and this and that. It's like nothing. We see formations of armies with these today, with these ships and these airplanes, and it looks invincible. Then you see the whole thing falls apart and falls down like it's nothing. And then you realize that it was all in your mind. That you're projecting all kinds of powers, but that's in the world of reality, only Hashem is the true power. That's why it's Hashemish Muhammad. Not that we glorify war. To the contrary, it's the only way that you can free yourself from the enslavement of the deification of man is to realize that man is nothing. That's why there's a Gemara that says in Brachos that a person who gets up in the morning, goes to shul, and stops off to greet his friend, that's like a form of avodah zarah. It says, "Ki bamehu nechshav, altechtal." You should just stay away from man. Ki bamehu nechshav. What's the significance? So the Gemara says, "Al tikre bameh el abama." Bama is like an altar. What does it mean? It means to say that a person gets up in the morning, so he's concerned about his security, his needs, and so forth. So he should go. He should turn to Hashem. But then he realizes there's an important person on this block. Oh, let me go see him. Let me greet him. That's already a form of avodah zarah. Because you're taking the energy that should be directed at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're elevating man to a level which he doesn't deserve. It's very interesting, we're living in times when you can see that all these titans, Wall Street, all these people, everybody filled with such geniuses and powerhouses, and you see how truly weak they are. That mistakes, fortunes are lost, the deception, and so on and so forth. And then you realize that it was all in your mind, it's just a projection. So that's what I want, that's why they made this. This is the Shira. Because then this was essential only by, that's why it says, Vayar, take a look, Vayar, that God saved them. Vayar, leading up to this year. You see, what leads up to this year? It says, Vavnei Yisrael go now to Yudal and Chavtes. Vavnei Yisrael holchu by Abasha Besoch Hayam. Vavayim lam chom v'im v'som. Vayosha Hashem Hayom Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim. Vayar Yisrael is Mitzrayim neisal sfat Hayam. What's the relationship to that? Vayar Yisrael is Yudal Gdola. Then they achieved the level of Amunah. Because up until that point, they were afflicted. There was a tremendous obstacle. And that was their sense of the power of the Mitzrim. And even with all the mockers and whatever, it didn't have the same effect that this had. Because here they saw them in a military formation with all their might and so forth coming after them. And that fear came back. And they saw that Nesal Tzfas, when they saw that Nesal Tzfas Hayor, then they realized that that whole thing was a fantasy and God is the only force. God is the only power. And that's why Oz Yoshia. That's why before that they couldn't do Oz Yoshia. Because they didn't have that Emunah, that level of Emunah.
Really, man?
And that's why 3 months later, when Amalek attacked them, and Amalek represents the negation of that idea, the whole purpose, the whole ideology of Amalek was to deny God and to elevate man, then they were able to fight. Of course, you can see the connection with the other Shalmosha, because that always reminded them of that concept, that Hashem Ish Muhammad. But that's the basic idea of the Shira. Yeah, God, it wouldn't be a Shira.
Right, but I'm saying, if it's Moshe's Nevuah, why does B'nai Israel have